مولا يصلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقال أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We all should make a lot of shukr to Allah tabaraka ta'ala. Allah ta'ala brought us from non-existence into existence. Our Allah ta'ala's matter, it's not like what scientists say, that matter cannot be created, it cannot be destroyed. For Allah tabaraka ta'ala, things which are not yet in existence, for Allah ta'ala to create them is nothing whatsoever. And plans and situations, Allah ta'ala is so great that there is no limit of Allah ta'ala's greatness. We have limited resources in all our things. No matter how much we have, all the people of the world together, put their brains together and let them think of some plan. But Allah Ta'ala is far, far, far beyond that. So Allah Ta'ala brought us into existence from non-existence. There was nothing, and Allah Ta'ala created. And a time will come, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. A time will come when Allah will, everything will be finished. There will be nothing. So for Allah Ta'ala, that great being, He is the one who has brought us into existence. And we are 100% Allahu Akbar. Not only 100%, not only every moment, we cannot think of it, how we are fully, fully, fully dependent on Allah. It's a different story if we don't realize it, we don't understand it, we don't accept it. But the fact of the matter is, we are, for our existence, we are dependent on Allah. At this moment, for example, we all just made Qurban, Eid al-Adha, we slaughtered animals, and inshallah, we all intend, if we are living, hopefully inshallah, next year we will make again Qurbani. But we just know, next year will come, we'll buy an animal, 1500, 2000 rand, we'll buy the animal. We're thinking like that, prices might go up, 2-3, 2-4, 2-5, whatever it might be. But already Allah tabaraka ta'ala long ago is preparing that animal for us, what we're going to buy. And not only that, Allah is preparing that animal, the feed of that animal, and which grass it's going to eat, how it's going to pass, it will get sick also perhaps, what the remedy will be, all that also. Then the farmer, the workers on that, the kraal that will be made, all these things, Allah Ta'ala is working continuously. And then again, that person who will go and look after the animals when he takes them out for grazing, he's got a family to look after his whole family. And everyone in the family has got different needs again. Maybe somebody is going to school, maybe somebody has to go to the doctor, maybe somebody, how many things? How great is Allah? The greatness of Allah, may Allah Ta'ala, the biggest way, the easiest, the greatest way to understand the Qudrat, the existence, the oneness, the unity, the oneness of Allah Ta'ala is me and you, ourselves. How Allah has created this human being. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala calls upon us that why don't you looking, if you want to see Allah, you'll see Allah in you. That who made us? It's not our parents who made us. It is only Allah Ta'ala. What does the mother know about optometry that she could make two eyes for the child? What the father knows about optometry that he could make the two eyes? What does the mother or father know? Which cardiologist are they? Or even any biggest cardiologist of the world that they can make a heart? Who can make a heart? In fact, the position is in fact such. At one time, many years ago, in our country, where there was a famous Muslim cardiologist, very pious and righteous person also, and every operation he used to do, he should give some sadaqah also, make namaz, salat also, and then he should do the operations. When one operation he had to do, a heart bypass, whatever it might have been, the patient was given his anesthetic, he bent down to start his operation, and he died of a heart attack. So in whose control is it? Forget the making of a heart. Where can anyone make a heart? We don't see this all the time. And another cardiologist, when there was a seminar or conference of the world's cardiologists, they had gathered. And who they regarded as to be the topmost one. They made him the president chairman of that seminar. And he died in there, surrounded with cardiologists. He died of a heart attack. Okay, so nothing is in our hands. Everything is in the hands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And we have to try and work and get this reality into us. We making ourselves mini gods that we planning and chalking our way. I will do that. I will do that. I will achieve this. We can't. We have to check what Allah has made us, and He has given us the instructions of how we must be used. So if we use ourselves contrary to the commandments and the instructions of Allah Ta'ala, like any gadget we buy, you buy your laptop, you buy your computer, you buy your cell phone, anything, there's a way to use it. If you use it the correct way, hopefully you're going to get good results. But you use it wrongly. You're going to throw the cell phone in a fire, you throw it in the water, etc. You're going to destroy it. So the same way, this human body has been made by Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. And Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has given the instructions in detail how this human body must be used. From head to toe, from morning to night, from birth to death. And we use it according to the maker's instructions, there is only good that will come out. Guaranteed good that will come out. But if we use it according to our own or any other man-made instructions and we apply that, we're going to only see destruction. And the world which we see today, that is in chaos. As it has been told, a time will come when the murderer won't know why he's murdered. And the murdered won't know why he's been murdered. Today we know what cases are happening. Whether it is our city here, our town, our country, or the whole world. The chaos the world is in. But just that we are also fooled in that comfort zone of ours. That we are all right. And we think nothing can happen to us. Those people who are going through trials and tribulations, they were also in their comfort zone. They were also happy. In fact, there are those people that in the morning, they were in a perfect comfort zone. Nothing to worry about. By the night, it was a different story. That person who was perhaps a multimillionaire, by the next morning, he was a person who was collecting this recycling things. And then he was just selling that, just enough, just trying to make a little bit food coming in the children's mouth, just for that. So Allah Ta'ala, on these conditions which are prevailing in the world, and it wasn't only now, you know, mankind, we have to just speak about ourselves. Islamic history, our Islamic history went through what and what. You know, the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein, how he was martyred. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Though that was the thing long after the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many years after that. the Ashura we are coming into Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday. It's not it has nothing to do with the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. That happened long afterwards, many years afterwards. But that was an evil. What did the Ummah go through at that time? We cannot imagine. Hey, that it was a time when everyone had to take stock of his iman. What has happened? The grandson of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. What did the Ummah go through? And like that, in the annals of Islam, when the Tatars came and they invaded Baghdad, what was the condition? It is said that in Baghdad city, there wasn't one Muslim left. And Baghdad was the seat of Islamic learning. It was the center of Islam at one stage. Where it had reached very, very far. And not only that, when Spain, the instance of when the Muslims said, Allahu Akbar, this is an occasion for us to take stock of our present way of thinking. In Spain, the Muslims had reached the highest level and order of dunya's progress. And deen's progress also was so great. They progressed tremendously as far as deen is also concerned and as far as dunya also is concerned. But it is a common fact, not everywhere, but generally, that when deen and dunya comes, dunya goes in front. And dunya overtakes. That is what happened then in Spain, with all the comfort, the ease and the luxury and the comfort. And if we read the history of that time, then we will see that people, how they just gave in to one thing after the other. As Maulana Yusuf was explaining after Asr, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were made not of a different metal. They were not made of different steel. They were made of different iman and yaqeen. And that is today what we have to try and develop in us. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Rijalun la tulhihim tijaratu wala bay'un an dhikrillah wa iqamis salah wa ita'iz zakah. They were such men, not of iron, men not of steel, men of iman. That is what we have to develop today. And today, alhamdulillah, don't look at the only one side of the coin where there is destruction, there is bad. There is definitely the other side. When in these times of ours, people are excelling also. Where they are reaching, what they yaqeen and what they iman, Allahu Akbar. One instance in France, a woman in hijab, when it was banned by the French government already, but she's with her hijab, she's in a supermarket, she's buying a thing, she's in the line to pay her money, to pay for her items. And as she comes there, it's a Muslim Arab girl who is a teller, and sitting at the cashier. So the Muslim girl tells this woman, who she thought is also a born Muslim and who is also an Arab Muslim, that if you want to practice Islam, go to your country, whichever country you come from. Yeah, you know the government don't want us to do this and you're just causing us more problems. Let us submit to what the government says. In front of her, she lifts her hijab up and she shows that she's a French woman. And she says, you sold your Islam, we bought your Islam. So this is what it ends today. With my own eyes I saw in France, I'm talking about where one masjid they took us to, and we had a program there, and really, just as we have our makatib, our primary madaris, there in France, that same sound of little children learning, reading, etc. was coming also. And when we had a little discussion, they told us that this is all being run by rebirths. Not one born Muslim in them. All by rebirths. And in fact, the born Muslims told them that you'll never succeed in this mission of running your madrasa and your masjid until you don't have us who are born Muslims with you. And they were running for many years and very successfully. And this is happening not one or two places. It is so common that this is happening. And then my wife was with, and she was with the ladies. And the ladies at that time also observing full proper hijab. Not like us, what we call cockeye hijab.
Mm.
That but who you feel like you have no hijab, and who you don't feel like you don't have. When you feel like to have it, you have it. When you don't feel like having it, you don't have it. Just according to the occasion. You've gone to the beach, is a different story. You are with your friends and people who know you, it's a different story. No, 100%. This is their condition. And this is happening not only now. Islam is on the march in the world, and this is why people are afraid, and all they have, all the propaganda and that they are making, because of how Islam is advancing in the world. Round about easily 40 years ago or so, we were arriving at the Merkaz, and there was a priest that had come from France, Abdul Karim or Abdul Rahim, something like that was his name, and he, before he accepted Islam, he had built a masjid for the Muslims. He loved Islam so much. He built a masjid. He handed over the keys to them. But then what happened? The usual infighting, that who must be president, who must be secretary, who must be treasurer, etc. And with all that happening, he said, I didn't build the masjid for fighting. I built it because I love the prayers of the Muslims. We don't realize, we take it for granted. But our adhan, may Allah give us tawfiq, that we appreciate the adhan. Today we are listening to it, we don't appreciate it. How many of us don't respond at all to it? How many of us, when adhan is carrying on, we are talking. Dunya's things we are talking, we don't appreciate it. How many of us that we don't reply to the adhan? It is such a great ibadah. If we reply to the adhan and a few other one, two small du'as that we read, for example, salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after that, the du'a that has to be read, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma, the whole du'a, hallat lahu shafa'ati. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's intercession becomes wajabat lahu shafa'ati. His intercession becomes compulsory for us. What a great thing. And our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi used to explain, the ulama explained, that this is one of the many guarantees how you can get your death on iman. Because on Qiyamah Day, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will only intercede for the believers. And if your mort is, if he's going to intercede for you, so you have to die on iman. So may Allah make it that we can appreciate this. One little instance comes to mind. A lady in Bombay who was also of the, who was selling herself, we know what is happening in the world. But when her mort came, the time of her death, she started speaking Arabic. So the house people couldn't understand, they didn't know Arabic also. Indian people, language is Indian, Urdu, Hindi, whatever it might be. And suddenly she's speaking Arabic. So they called the Imam from the masjid, a Qari. He came and he asked when he listened to what she was saying, he was also amazed and shocked. She's saying in proper Arabic, Hadani Rajulani Yakulani Li. These two men are telling me, udkhul al-jannah, enter into jannah. So he asked them, what kind of a woman was she? Because he knew her. They said, you know her, we know her. But then they said, one thing she used to do, whenever adhan used to go, she should tell all, shh, keep quiet. Respect of the adhan. The shi'ar of Allah Ta'ala to respect like the day of Jumu'ah. And there are so many instances, those people who respected this. So that is a very important thing also. So anyway, getting back, there are two sides of this. The one side is what Allah is referring at the beginning in the surah here. And Allah Ta'ala refers to that by an oath of which Allah is taking. Wal asr. Allah is taking a qasam and an oath on time, on the asr salah, that time that now the day is going. We know once Asr Salah, the day is gone. So there isn't time to waste. So don't waste your time. Hurry up now. Time is going. Time and tide waits for no man. Time is just moving. The seconds are moving. We don't realize. And as it has come in the hadith, perhaps many have noticed it also, a time will come when years will be like months. Months will be like weeks. Weeks will be like days. Today you can't understand. Before I should, in my time, on a Juma morning, I should manage this, I should manage that. Now I say I'm starting earlier. but half of my things are not getting done. Why is it? The barakat is also gone. So this time is a great, great thing. And also, let us understand that time is also the creation of Allah. We cannot comprehend Allah. To create a thing like time, if there wasn't time, how, what should happen? And then again, that is a bit difficult to understand. We have to think, but do let us do think. That time is not just that we have got it, we have got time. And we have to give it careful thought, then we will understand what a khallaq alim, what a great creator Allah Ta'ala is. Khallaq alim, what a knowledgeable creator Allah Ta'ala is. Like that we will say, this engineer who put up this building here, or this architect who drew up these plans here, or the or person who is running this whole affair, Allah is running the Allah is running the our affairs. And in one human being, the eyes, the tongue, the brains, the heart, the hands, the legs, Allah is in charge of creating everything, sustaining and maintaining everything. And also, nowhere else we're going to return to but to Allah. If a person has done something wrong and he tries and get away from the police, he tries, he gets caught finally. He many times goes out of his country also. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, from my control, nobody can run away. Where are you going to run out of the world of Allah? Where are you going to go? You can go nowhere whatsoever. You are fully, in fact, a riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, a person of the past days of the Bani Israel, who had done no good whatsoever, only sins he had committed. On his passing away, he told his children that when I die, you must burn me. And when I become charcoal, you must rub me and make me fine. Stamp me, let there be nothing left of me. And then when it's a very, very windy day, you must spread that in the air and let it go everywhere. So, because I didn't fulfill the rights of Allah, I can't face it. As soon as they did that, Allah just said, kun, and he was existing. He was there immediately. And also at the same, see the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala in this, and see the great mercy of Allah. Allah asked him, my banda, why did you do this? He said, in your fear. Fear for you. Allah said, you feared me? Go, I forgive you. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. A person who fears Allah. And this must not go out of us. We are weak. We know our pitfalls. We know the temptation. If we do commit, but fear Allah. And a person who will fear will make tawbah and istighfar regularly. Let us not be that we are just all the time committing sins and no tawbah and istighfar. Make tawbah istighfar. We are guilty of many sins. And then when I say we, those of us who think of us that we are pious, we are guilty of many sins. The sin of the eyes, for example. The sin of bad thoughts about other people, looking down upon people. We are guilty of many, many things. What evil thoughts coming to us, false accusation, if not on the tongue, but in the heart, we are thinking, this person is like this, he did that. And these are all major sins when we build on it. So we have to make a lot of tawbah also. But anyway, so Allah Ta'ala is the creator of this time, and then Allah is the creator of the measurement of time. We said today we will have this Islahi Jalsa on this night here, Yawmul Jumu'ah, the night of Jumu'ah, will be the Shab Guzari. Where did we get Yawmul Jumu'ah from? Where did we get all our dates from? It is, we measure, I was born in this year, and now my age is this. Where did we get this? We tell somebody, I will meet you, we make an appointment at 8:30 tomorrow morning. Where we got that? It didn't just fall from the air. This is all the qudrat of Allah. We have to ponder in all these matters and see the greatness of Allah, the existence of Allah Ta'ala first, the oneness of Allah, and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, and realize that we have got nothing in our hands. Everything is in the control of Allah Ta'ala. After Allah Ta'ala, and Allah only takes qasam, oath, on His great, great creations. So yeah, Allah Ta'ala has taken an oath on time, on the namaz of Asr. which is great. Like another place Allah took qasam, wal fajr, on the time of fajr, walayalin ashr, and the 10 nights of the Zulhijjah, the 10 days of Zulhijjah, and many other places also, the day and the night, the sun and the moon. So these are the great, great, and it is for us to ponder. And Allah calls upon us that ponder in my creation. We cannot imagine, Allah is beyond us. A poet says, Tu mere dil mein aata hai, meri samaj mein nahi aata. Oh Allah, you come into my heart. That is, I believe in you. I accept you, oh Allah. But you don't come into my brain. I can't fathom you. It's beyond man to fathom. But we believe in Allah Ta'ala. Main samaj mein jaan gaya, yahi teri, I realized that this is your recognition, that I believe. So we must wholeheartedly believe in Allah. Then Allah Ta'ala has made one statement, a blanket statement. إِلَّا وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. That mankind generally is in a loss. And what a loss that man is in. Today we find people with all the comforts of the world, but no peace of mind. I mentioned one time that Allah Ta'ala is that great being who can give a person all the freedom of the world, no restriction. But if Allah puts your heart into prison, and now you cannot, you're just feeling uneasy all the time, you're feeling restless all the time. You've got your air con, you've got your gardens, you've got everything laid out for you. But you that uneasy feeling in your heart, you are. And on the other hand, Allah Ta'ala, like how many, as Maulana Yusuf also, as when we read in Hayatul Sahaba, Hikayatul Sahaba, we read, how many of the Sahaba, they were in prison, they were being put into the fire, but what peace of mind they had. And they were right in the control of the non-believers, but what peace of mind, and laughing at that time. The Sahabi who says, Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'ba. He's dying, and he says, by the qasam of the Rabb of the Kaaba, I've become successful. Right. So that is that great, great success of that time. That is, and when you go there and you get that, oh, everything is open. So that is what we have to work for. Otherwise, if we don't follow that instructions of Allah Ta'ala, Allah has taken an oath on time that man will be in destruction, man will be in loss. Now, what are the things to take out man from that loss? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The first and foremost thing is that iman. And not iman, what we think is that iman, but the iman of the Sahaba. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَرِهْتَدُوا. If you bring iman, what the Sahaba brought iman on, then you are in guidance. Today we want to change Islam. We want to change the picture of Islam. We want a new form of Islam. We have to have that Islam which was given to the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. That is what we have to work for. And today, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, by the efforts of tabligh and da'wah, this iman is coming alive. Really, we don't understand. There are brothers who are sitting here with us. They're not big ulama. They're not ulama also. They're not hafiz also. But they've got the yaqeen. And they sacrifice for the deen of Allah. And Allah open and continuously we hear these instances how they are sacrificing. So that is what has to come, that iman and yaqeen. Just a few aspects of that iman and yaqeen. We cannot exhaust the thoughts of iman and yaqeen. How great they are. May Allah bless us. Even with an a'uta of that, really a person's life is different. We all believe. We say we believe of the life of the year after. And that life is in reality. When Malakul Maut will come at the time of when our death, Allah make it easy for all of us. When we have to go through the qabr, the life there. And today normally, unfortunately, I hope it's not the case yet, but in our places, janaza takes place. People are in the qabristan, by the qubur. The janaza salat is going to take, but we are talking of the weather, we are talking of politics, we are talking of sports. A close family member has passed away. And as soon as we have buried, everyone disperses. And who of us thinks again what is happening in the qabr? We think what is happening in dunya. We are back to our business. On the way already, the phone is going to ring, a message. I ordered those goods, it hasn't been delivered, I haven't received payment, you haven't made payment. These things are carrying on all the time. But what's happening in the problem? So just to give us one example, which inshallah we'll be able to understand. One person, a friend, goes with his another four friends, five of them, for fishing on the weekend, which is a common thing that people go for outings, etc. They go for fishing. So he's gone for fishing. And when they are there now, he takes his line and on the hook he puts a nice, fat, juicy worm. That is also something we all have to think about. If somebody has to put a hook through us, what will it be like? That worm is also the creation of Allah Ta'ala. It also feels that pain and everything that goes with it. But now, without any thought, we take that hook and we put the worm in it. Anyway, we have done that. The ruling is something else. I'm giving an example. Now you cast your line into the water. And with your with the sink also, so it goes below the water. There is a little fish, a small little young fish. And it says, نعمت الخير متبقبا. A نعمت which I didn't imagine. A favor of Allah. My rosy and juicy fat worm, right by me. I didn't have to go and look for it. It has come right by me. So it wants to go and take a bite. Nice fat worm. But the old type of fish, the grandmother type of fish, and the old sheikh type and molana sahab type of fish, tell that small fish, my little darling, never ever go near that worm. So why? Juicy, fresh worm, right by me. And I mustn't go and have it. You don't know what is the story behind it. What story is there behind it? There's a juicy worm, enjoy it. Why must I worry what's going to happen? What is that? Say, we got experience, we know. That hook is with a line, it goes out of the water. Then there is a man 1.5 meters tall or something, and he's got a 2 meter rod, and he's holding it and he's feeling that a bite is coming. And then he hooks the fish on there. He'll hook it. And then he'll give you a little chance to play also. He'll play with you, let you play, carry on. Then finally he's going to pull you out of the water. When he pulls you out, he'll gouge out your eyes. Okay? Now imagine that man be so cruel that you're gouging out the eyes. And then he will cut you up and he'll take all your insides out. And then your ferns and that, the tail, he's going to cut that. He's come with his cats and dogs also. He'll throw all that to the cats and dogs. They will eat you. And then these are Indian fishermen. And they've come with the spices also. All the strong spices they've come. They'll take that spices, they'll cut you into pieces. Imagine somebody cutting us into pieces. And we're doing it. With the fish, we're doing it. So he cuts you into pieces and then he puts that spice. Then they'll gather firewood. They'll make a little fire. And then they'll put a frying pan on it. And then they'll take oil and put it in there. And when it's nice and sizzling hot, they'll put you piece by piece into there. Then there are 5 of them. Each one has got 10 fingers. Between 10 fingers, they're going to make your pieces. Each one has got 32 teeth in the mouth. Between 160 teeth, and the teeth are also different. The front ones are for biting. The others there are for eating meat. And then the others to crush it fine. He's going to make pieces, ones out of you. And then you'll go into the small intestine, the big intestine, and oh my little fish, where you're going to come out from, I can't even tell. What is going to happen to you? So the small little fish says, it's you. I can't believe this. Today is a day, the time that we are living in, that seeing is believing. And the fish say, I can't see all this. Till I don't see it, I can't. What you're hearing is deceiving now. Whereas truly in our Islamic teachings generally it is hearing is believing. We don't see Allah Ta'ala, but we believe in Allah Ta'ala. We have been told by the most authentic sources that ever were and can ever be, the Quran and Hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We haven't seen Jannat and Jahannam. A person, that's again another long example, but won't go into that. Doctors who exhume bodies, they don't see it's a pit of hell. They don't see it's a garden of Jannah, but it is there. The expert of this field has told us Just to make you understand, I won't go into the whole, that person, the doctor who said that we exhume bodies and we don't see all these things happening. So, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullah alayh explained to this doctor, and afterwards he became such a great worker of tabligh, who started to work in France. And today, where the work is gone? So Maulana told him one example, that you tell us that when you eat sugar, that your sugar levels will go up, you are diabetic, you eat sugar. But you tell us that if you eat rice, your sugar level will go up. But rice is not sweet. But we believe what you say, that eating rice, eating potatoes, sugar level will go up, carbohydrates. And you tell us that if you have artificial sweetener, it's sweet, but you say your sugar won't go up. So this extreme of yours also we believe, and that extreme also, that what is not sweet is going to put up the sugar, and what is sweet is not going to put up the sugar. So just like that, you are the expert of this field, you have studied the body, the expert of the ruhaniyat and the life of the qabr. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah had shown all this, not only informed him, Allah it showed him, he has told us. So we accept wholeheartedly whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyway, that fish says that is a university time. Young fish is going university, so it's hard to experiment first. I can't just accept this at face value. Everything has to be put through the test. So it starts its experimenting. Now where is it finding out the details, doing its research? Where it's not happening in the water. All this is happening on the ground. And it can't reach there now. Mm. We are doing research of the life of the qabr in dunya. And that is not in this dunya. That is not in the qabr there. That's a life of its own that it is happening. And all this is happening. And not difficult to understand. Husband and wife sleeping close to one another. The one is seeing a dream where he's enjoying. The other is seeing a dream where a nightmare. Mm. Eh? But you don't see anything there. But they are going through there. And in the qabr, and that is no dream, it is a reality of this life. And how much we have been informed of the reality of this. So anyway, so this fish says, I made research, I don't find it. And also, you say that this is happening out of the water. We know. Now the fish, al-mar'u yaqisu ala nafsihi. Everyone thinks according to his understanding. There is no life out of the water. Because a fish, if it goes out of the water, it dies. So there is no life. Life is only here. But the actual fact is all this is happening there. Anyway, that fish does not want to accept this. It takes a little bite. It gets hooked. And everything happens just as it was informed. Just like that. For us also, we have been informed. And how much we have been informed. When we were in Madinah, our asatiza, our teachers told us. Our old people informed us. Our grannies, grandfathers. Today Tabligh Jamaat goes from door to door, meeting person every day and informing of these. Ulama on Fridays are giving bayans here. Kitabs are being written. And this is being expounded throughout. It is now for us to accept it. So this reality is going. So our iman and yaqeen must be on that line. And therefore we are called to make muraqabah more, to think little bit of more, a little while every day. That one day, today I'm living, I'm sleeping in my bed, but the day will come when I will be sleeping in that janazah. Today I'm walking to the masjid to make namaz. One day I will be carried to the kubur, and there my namaz will be made for me. Today was Jumu'ah, and every person took a bath, wore clean clothes. A time will come when I won't take a bath, a bath will be given to me. And for Friday, many people like white clothes. Then that day also they're going to put on a white kapal. So we should think. And this helps tremendously. This is a silent lecturer in the Ummah. And it is such a silent lecturer that doesn't speak a word. But if we ponder, it's more than enough to change our lives. So, and alhamdulillah, these type of gatherings here, and throughout the world, Sheikh Ghazali is taking place. Everywhere, efforts for deen are taking place everywhere, so that this reality comes into us. Then, and so that is one aspect of the year after. Another one aspect of iman that we have to build within us. That our risk, our rosy, It's not in our hands. It is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. We have to make the effort, but don't put your yaqeen on your effort. Yaqeen must be on Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise things go, how they go haywire. Just to give you an example, a friend phoned me in this week. He had a house, he's in financial difficulties, he put it up for sale. He was expecting minimum of 2.2 million. He put it up for sale. The auctioneer came. The best offer was 1.1 or something like that. And the auctioneer told, sold. And he says, I don't know what happened to me. I signed the documents. And then now, the auctioneer wanted a deposit of 150,000 or something from the buyer. He paid the auctioneer. Just see what is happening. So the auctioneer is gone with the money. Now they were demanding the papers of the... He says, this house is not in my name. It's my brother's in-law's name. My signature is invalid. And they can't trace the auctioneer anywhere. The buyer, the prospective buyer can't trace him. The seller can't trace him. The lawyer can't trace him. He's nobody. He just can't come anywhere. Now what a difficult situation this person is in. So like this is happening all the time. So like that we have to be, we don't know if we don't pray, we think we are doing where we can go wrong and how wrong we can go. And then we don't know what hit us from what side and what is happening. So the only way is we have to hear Allah Ta'ala's help on us. Allah's guidance is there. We follow that guidance, then Allah's. And how many of us must have experienced that? How I got saved. I was about to sign here. I was about to do this, and how Allah Ta'ala saved me. So this is when we become Allah Ta'ala's. So for that one, other little example here from Port Elizabeth, the railway station, the train is going to go to Johannesburg station, and there is a dog sleeping under the train. And it's fast asleep, the train is also just standing still. After some time, now the time is there for the train to move. And it happened, the dog also woke up at that time. The dog started walking. So what the dog thought, while I was sleeping, the train was standing still. When I started walking, the train also started. I'm making the train move. Now after a little while, the dog became fresh. It woke up from its sleep. It started running. The train picked up speed. So now it was convinced, I'm making the whole big train move. But we know, Port Elizabeth, Johannesburg, where the dog is going to run till then. Very soon, with its tongue out of its mouth, it's panting, and it can't take breath also, but the train is going to go. Over a thousand kilometers, whatever it might be, the dog. Just like that, how many of us think, I'm running my family, I'm running my shop. The time will come when perhaps we are 4 months in the hospital, and the family will still be living. How many people, a daily occurrence, we are taking people to the kubur. We are burying them. Is the family dying off? And a very, very strange thing also for us to understand and take a lesson. When a husband passes away, the wife has to sit in iddah, waiting period of 4 months and 10 days. She doesn't get a share. Her share in the inheritance, if the husband had something, she will get. And usually to die it all up takes time. But for her, in that period, if the husband divorced her, the husband has to pay her for her waiting period for 3 months, three menstruation. But if he dies, there is no, who looks after him? Yes, and Allah Ta'ala, with regard to this, over and over says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّعَاتِهِ وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. That is not an easy time. That and for some people, alhamdulillah, family support, community support. But how many people know support? But the big support is there. And if a person has trust on Allah, and at that time she observes her waiting period, Allah has promised, Allah is going to open such doors in this world already. So this is what we have to get into us. That is one aspect of four things in order to get us, to take us out of that loss which we are in. Iman. And Iman cannot be exhausted. How we have to make effort. The reality of Iman. And really it's a miracle that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in a short period of 23 years did not only take out people from darkness into light, did not only give all the previous pagan things which they were doing, burning daughters alive, father dies, the son inherits his mother, he does what he wants to, and what their life was, it's unimaginable. And in a short period of 23 years, what a change. They become the envy of the malaika. These people that were like this, and they become the envy of the malaika. At one time we were meeting with one person, a learned person, and he says, I don't see how we're going to make it. We are living in such difficult times. Really, it is that one effort of Nabi alayhi salam, that a human being becomes a human being. Insan becomes insan. That effort we have to make. And Hazrat, one great alim, says that it is not difficult at all. It's very easy. And we just have to think of this example, that every human being is a country of his own, with various provinces. The province of the brain, the province of the eyes, ears, tongue, hands, legs, heart, all these different provinces. And every person, he doesn't have to fight for win an election. And he doesn't have to buy votes or anything. He's the president, prime minister, lifelong president. Not 4 years, 5 years president and prime minister. Lifelong. And he has got no opposition. He is the prime minister, he is ruling. So all we have to do is we have to bring Islam into our eyes. Every person, we see according to what Allah has commanded. Every person talks how Allah has commanded. Every person uses his hands as Allah has commanded. And Islam is alive. So that is the effort, that we have to bring this Islam within us. So the first part is this Iman and Yaqeen that we have to build. And we have to make the effort of it. If you want bread and you go into a material shop, you're not going to get bread there. Bread you will get in a bakery. In a cafe you are going to get bread. You want milk and you went into some science laboratory looking for milk. You're not going to. So this yaqeen and iman, we have to go to the shop of yaqeen and iman. And today Allah has made this effort of tahleel and da'wah widespread. And for the whole world, for everyone. And today is a time that alhamdulillah, yeah, in Port Elizabeth also we must be seeing it, but there we're seeing it, jamaats are coming from countries which we least expected. Malawian jamaat, and not Indian brothers, local Malawian people. Zanzibar jamaat is coming. This country's jamaat, Arabs, mashallah. And what feeling they have got for Deen and for Islam, and how they are sacrificing. So this word, mashallah, has taken the women's jamaat, ladies, masturat jamaat are coming, and how they are sacrificing. Allahu Akbar. We were explaining one time, a ladies' jamaat of Karachi, it's a big city, modern city, and those ladies have went to one of the African countries, and they had to go, no toilets, you have to go out in the jungle. They say those ladies were making that sacrifice then. And here also, where and where in the jungles all the jamaats go. Where and where, how they sacrifice. So all these efforts of deen, as Maulana Yusuf also was explaining, all these are absolutely essential and required. So with that, all this iman will be built. And I saw with my own eyes, one person of South Africa, that giving good long life, very powerful, very extremely wealthy. We can't imagine what a life. But I saw him in Nizamuddin Markaz. He's sleeping not in a room. He's sleeping not on a bed. In the passage he's sleeping. Allah. And he's happy. He's smiling and he's happy. Hey, who could bring this here? Otherwise a person who wants a 5-star hotel, besides that he won't sleep anywhere else. It is this great, this yaqeen that comes in a person. And that will not come without sacrifice. Little bit sacrifice. And that is also just life. When a little child starts walking, then the father holds the hand and the child is happy. I walk. How many times your little 2-year-old or something, you put him in your lap when you're driving. And when he comes home, he tells his mummy, ammi, today I drove the car. Then he just put his, so Allah does everything. We just have to have that little we want to go, Allah will take us. And where and where Allah will take us. So illallah. Asr, Allah has taken oath of dying. That what Allah say? Innal insana lafi khusr. That man generally is in great loss. But who will be saved? Illa alladhina amanu. those who bring this iman. And not only the word of iman, but the reality of iman comes into them. And when that comes, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, the natural consequence of iman is that you will do righteous deeds. You will obey the commandments of Allah. When you have been convinced that this is the right way, so then you will follow the commandments of Allah Ta'ala also. And to follow the commandments of Allah Ta'ala is also not so easy in these times. One time a Jamaat went to one place. They explained all everything, what their life is, Akhirah, Jannah, your success is in following the commands of Allah. One brother, he was very happy. He got up, 4 months I'm ready. And he's now happy in his heart. I'm going 4 months, my life will change, my family's life will change. He went home happy, smiling, and he tells his wife, you know, I'm going 4 months. Wife said, you going 4 months? Oh, I'm going to my mother's house. What must I do? This every year's new visitor, every guest that comes, every year a child that comes, there's 11 children. I must look after them. You go in 4 months. You look after them, and all the fowls that we have got and that in the fowl pen, you look after them. And I'm going to my mother's house. He said, what did I do? I thought I was convinced I'm making the right decision. But now it is the opposite. Now he goes to his mother-in-law and he tells the mother-in-law that I want to go 4 months, but your daughter, my wife, she's saying that she'll leave and she'll go away. Mother-in-law said, that's your problem, not my problem. She got married to you, you sort of yourself. Now he's lost his mind. Can't seem to understand. Anyway, he decides that I'll stay, I'll see later, sometime I'll go. After about a week or 2 weeks, an offer comes from one of the Arab countries that you come here and work for 5 years, not 4 months, 5 years, and you'll get so much wages. Now he says, that country, I know that this deen is weak, I'll get lost with my deen, they got different ideas. So he comes home sadly, he says, I've got this offer, but I don't think I must go, I'll lose out completely. Wife says, what are you waiting? Phone now and say you accept me. Now he's shocked. Just now 4 months she says. Now 5 years, because she knows money is going to come from that country. Foreign currency is going to come. And then our house going to change. Our car is going to change. This we're going to buy. We live this lifestyle. So dunya's temptations are so we'll have to make a lot of sabr. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. We will have to speak this truth also. And this is the absolute truth that Allah Ta'ala is in charge of everything. The real life is the life of the Akhirah. It is not this dunya's life. So the more we're going to speak, and for that, do ta'aleem at home. Many of us, we know we've got problems at home. One brother, many years ago, where it was a nice pious family in our country, but one day when he came home, that was long ago when TVs had just come out still. Today, where have we gone? We've been gone. Anyway, so he saw a TV at home. He was very upset at that. And he told me to throw it out and I won't speak to anyone. All three young daughters, the mother, all of them, they won the TV in the house. So he became angry and that. Finally, the dispute reached to this stage that they said, if you don't allow the TV in the house, we will throw you out. He's the boss, he's the owner, everything is his. We will throw you out. And all what you are owning, you give us our share. They demanding that. Spoke to Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Inam al-Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Ji said, why you went against our principles and usuls of the belief? Our usul is not that we throw out TVs and we break TVs and we fight with people. All you had to do is start ta'aleem in the house. So you start ta'aleem. That is all what you have to do. And you tell them 23 hours, 50 minutes of every 24 hours yours. You do whatever you want to. I'll pay for it. 10 minutes you give me. They said it's a sasta soda. It's a bargain. Only 10 minutes. So they agreed. 10 minutes ta'aleem and the rest they can do what they want to. But the ta'aleem is a thing that we all, me and all of us, we have to have in our homes. And this provider, Ahmad, it works miracles. They are people we cannot believe what status they have in dunya. But when they touched that kitab, they couldn't put it down till they finished. And it changed their lives. And it changed the lives of the family. So this is what Allah Ta'ala has given us. So then when he started that, another 1 week or 10 days, 2 weeks, he came home and he saw themselves, they threw the TV out of the house. In fact, one lady, she also had a TV when she realized how evil it was. And she asked the masala, the question, can she sell it or what must she do with it now? Then what she decided on her own, what destroyed my life? I don't want to sell it to anyone and destroy somebody else's life. And with her own hand, she broke it in view of the whole public. So this is that imani force when it is built in a person. So this is what we have to work for. And Allah has given us the opportunity. It's so, Allah has, tawfiq is that Allah Ta'ala opens all the doors. So this is a time when this work, Allah has presented it to us. And it is prevalent everywhere. And all the other efforts of deen are also carrying on. Wherever a person fits in, we take part and we bring this within us. So inshallah, who is ready that we also take part in this great, great effort and we bring deen into our lives, inshallah.